Y'all know what time it is. Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody. Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on, looking like the dapper dawn, giving a mug on, dress like a million bucks, buying things in its cuffs. Mm-hmm. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey? Oh, yeah. Listening to me. Put your hands together for Steve Harvey. Put your hands together. Oh, listen to me, Harvey. Why don't you join me? Yeah, yeah. Well, Steve Harvey, you know, y'all. You better give me some eggs while I listen to me, Harvey. Won't you join me? Come with me, have me say. I'm so grateful.
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. You're listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only. Steve Harvey got a radio show. Steve Harvey got a radio show. Sometimes when I chuckle like that, it reminds me of my oldest brother that passed away. He used to laugh like that. It's kind of funny how genes get passed down through the line. I don't know why I told y'all that. Just so I can share it with you. That's all. Wow. All right. I'm on a good one today. You know, I was, as always, I always kind of ask God to help me, you know. I had gotten off track a little bit because one of the principles of success I want to share with you all today is the law of attraction. And that is a very, very serious principle. It cannot be ignored. The law of attraction, and I'm not going to be able to explain it to you as well as the book Secrets can or as well as some people. I can only articulate it to you the way that I see it. And the law of attraction is very, very real. The law of attraction is a principle of success. It is something that everyone has to adhere to. Now, whether you know the law of attraction or not, it does not make it not exist for you. This is the case where ignorance is not the excuse. The fact that no one told it to you, there is no pass for this one. The fact that you never heard it before, it does not allow you to do it any other way. So let me see if I can put it to you best I can, the law of attraction. The law of attraction, to put it real simple, is the thing that you focus on, the thing that you talk about, the thing that you think of, is the thing that you draw to you. It's what you attract to you. That's basically the law of attraction. The thing that you talk about, the thing that you think about, the thing that you focus on, whatever it is, that is what you attract. The law of attraction does not differentiate from positive and negative. It only does what it does. What I am saying is this. In the law of attraction, no matter what you think of, no matter what occupies your time, no matter what you say, or no matter what the focus is, positive or negative, the law of attraction knows neither one. It just attracts it. So let's use some examples here. I can just, best example I always use is me. That way I ain't got to figure out nothing. I can just tell you my side of it. I was in a lot of debt one time in my life. This is before any of you knew me. So you can understand, in case you're not thinking, I don't want you to think that this conversation is about your income level, because it's not. It doesn't matter what income level you are. The law of attraction works in all aspects: money, family, relationships, job, career, love. It just works that way. Okay, here's the deal. I kept saying, man, this debt is killing me. I got to get out. And I thought that was good enough. Man, this debt, man, everywhere I turn, I see debt. I got to get out. Man, I got to get out of debt, man. This debt is killing me, man. All I see is debt, and I got to get out of debt. That's what I thought was a good goal, to get out of debt. But what I kept saying was, you know, I kept talking about debt. And you know what it kept doing? It kept attracting debt to me. So guess what? So I could get out. That's all. Is that crazy? Is that crazy? So it kept attracting debt to me so I could keep getting out of it. That is an amazing law to understand. What turned it around for me was I started claiming a life of abundance. God, I am seeking a life of abundance. I want to have more than enough. I want to be able to help other people. I want to have money to donate to causes. I want to have money to help other people in program. I want to have enough money to not only send my children to college, but maybe if I meet another boy or something, I can help another child. I just want to have a law of attraction so that I'll be able to provide my family the lifestyle that I want to provide them. I want Heavenly Father to be able to be an example of your goodness and your grace in my life. That is what I started saying. And guess what? That's what I started attracting. I'm going to have a great relationship with my children. I'm going to be the father that I always wanted to be. I'm going to be a good father. I'm going to be a good husband now. I am going to do the right things. I am going to be the type of example that my sons can look no further and go, I can be like my dad. I want to be able to be a place, a beacon of light and hope for my daughters to come to. That's what I started saying. That's what I started attracting to my life. The law of attraction does not care if you want it to be positive or negative. The law of attraction just attracts whatever it is you focus on, what you think about, the words that come out your mouth. That is what the law of attraction is. You cannot overlook this principle of success and expect to make it because of the fact that you've never heard of the law of attraction, because of the fact that you don't know how it really operates. It does not make it not exist in your day. You can start today attracting the right things to your life by changing what you say, what you think, what you focus on. Change the focus, change the thought, change the words that come out your mouth, and guess what? You change what you attract to yourself. You have got to ask yourself, why is it, man? Man, let me tell you something. Somebody said to Bishop Jakes one time, they said, man, everything you touch turns to gold. He said, no, I just don't touch everything. Man, is this crazy? Come on, man. He has a focus. He has a focus. See, he ain't just everywhere. Bring me any idea. Let me try that. No, man. He has a focus. He has a law of attraction that's working where he's attracting things to his life that's positive. That he can, now that's not to say Bishop Jakes don't have problems, because we talk often, and man, he have them. Oh, please understand. And he's not trying to attract the problems. But what he will attract is the proper solution for the problem. And ain't that all you need sometimes? God did not say that it would be easy. He just said he would be with you. And if God is with you, who can be against you? God will make your enemies your footstool. God is powerful, man. His word is true. He do what he say he gonna do. Now, all we got to do is do some of what we say. Because we ain't going to do everything. Just do some of what we say. Okay, here's the deal. God is going to do everything he say he going to do. You and I just got to do some of the stuff we say we're going to do. Because he already know we ain't going to do all of it. Yeah, he clear on that. He clear on that. I ain't smoking no more. Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, maybe not, you know. I ain't gambling no more. Okay, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not. I'm a quick cussing. All right. Okay, cool. All right. Thank you.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, here we are. We are at the arrival point. We've gotten there. It's another day. God is good. We've all awakened today. Praise God for that. If you ain't glad to be up, man, you know, the other option ain't that good.
Hello.
I like up. Praise God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Steve Harvey Morning Show, full of good sense, full of gratitude and humble spirit, with a hint of severe ignorance. Please welcome to the show, Shirley Strawberry.
Keyword severe. Good morning, Steve Harvey.
And the other person with some sense, Carla Farrell.
Yeah, baby. Good morning, crew. What's up?
Let me please introduce you, the brainless one, Nephew Tommy.
Yeah. Good morning.
Woo, yeah. Baby, I'm on my fifth day of no meat. Six. This is day six.
Oh, okay. Congratulations. Okay.
Now, does that mean, like, do you eat fish?
No, I haven't eaten any.
Oh, no. Okay. Everything.
All nothing plant-based diet.
Nothing with a face, day. Huh?
Well, I'm going to eat. Well, next week at the mentoring camp. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of face stuff going down.
Face
at
this. Yeah.
You're FaceTiming.
Your face is going to be all in
about
it.
About face.
Yeah, I'm going down there. Matter of fact, I did gave my system a break because I know what I'm finna send it through.
So you're really doing the smart right thing, huh?
Yeah, you know, I'm eating a little bit of meat.
Yeah, some barbecue.
Supposed to, man.
Mm-hmm. You know. But I was actually thinking about taking some Beyond Burgers with me.
Oh, okay.
So, what is that?
You know, man, I really rather just eat meat because it look and taste like meat. I be figuring, hey, why don't I eat the meat?
Why don't you just eat the meat?
Because I don't even really know what's in it. Who can tell me what's in it?
Is it tofu?
Okay, I looked it up before. Let's see. Beyond Burgers.
Beyond Burgers. What's in it? The ingredient or the Impossible Burger?
Yeah, the Impossible Burger. Okay.
And they sell them at Fat Burgers, too.
Oh, really?
Okay, let's see. Beyond Burger.
They passed by the burger.
I've never heard of Beyond Burger. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Impossible Burger, too. It tastes just like a regular burger.
No, seriously.
And looks
I don't believe it.
No, Tommy.
You gotta go to Fat Burger.
Tommy, it really does.
Yeah.
It really, really does.
Somebody said it sizzles and smells like meat, too.
Yeah, 20 grams of plant protein, no soy or gluten, no GMOs.
What?
Yeah, that's what it says.
What the revolution is that?
This is the Beyond Burger.
Is that the one they sell at Fat Burger?
And
they sell it on a different grill.
Okay, so they're not putting on there with the meat.
No, that's what I thought they did. But they have a different grill for it.
It's the revolutionary plant-based burger that looks, cooks, and satisfies like beef.
Wow.
I'm going to try it.
And it's 20 grams of protein.
20 grams of plant protein.
Yeah.
No soy or gluten.
I'm going to just tell y'all what to do. Watch what the health.
Yeah.
You got me. I ate some chicken yesterday. I couldn't help but think about you.
Dog, it's going to throw you into something.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. So, okay.
Beyond Burger. Okay. Burger. I'm going to go to Fat Burger to get me one.
It's the Impossible Burger at Fat Burger.
The Impossible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was actually good. I didn't eat the bread. Because I don't eat white bread, except when I go to Europe.
It's like Beyond Booty. I want to be.
Okay, we got to go. Coming up next, if you missed it, Steve is going to spell some of the most misspelled words inside Something Funny coming up in the next 8 minutes. It's all in tribute to the Natural Spelling Bee.
He can't spell.
I know. Okay,
that's what gets on your nerves the
that's
most,
That's what you
Tommy.
Think.
All right, we'll be back at 32 after the hour, right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, well, Steve and the guys, did you see the National Spelling Bee champion?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Oh, you saw him, Steve?
Yeah.
14-year-old teen from Texas.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, his name is Karthik Nemani. He beat out 516 spellers.
Hell,
this
if
year.
He can spell his name, he can. Say his name again.
It's Karthik Nemani.
I think so. Right. I think you're nailing it, Shirley. Yeah.
The highest number of competitors in the Bee's decades-long history, 516. He beat them all. After correctly spelling the word Koinamia. Koinamia?
Koinamia?
Koinamia.
I got it. Go ahead, Unc. Go on, doing Koinamia.
Koinamia.
Stop.
Wait. What? Wait, what did you say, Steve?
Koin.
Namia.
Koin. Koinar.
No.
Ain't no R.
No.
What you heard?
Kanar.
No.
Kanar. Ian.
The first time you spelled it, you were really close, but you spelled it with a C instead of a. Go ahead. You want to try?
I need to know the origin.
It ain't going to make no damn difference. You don't know where that is.
Use it in a sentence, please.
This fool can't spell the origin.
Spell origin.
C-O-N.
Uh-huh.
No.
Okay,
Wrong.
Q.
Wrong.
Boy, coin, fool.
Is he embarrassing you, Steve?
Man, he got a damn degree.
C-O-I-N-O-M-I-N-A.
I mean, really close, but instead of C, it's K.
Got
it. Uh-huh. And it means Christian fellowship or body of believers.
See, ain't nobody getting in that.
You need to know that to get to heaven.
We Baptists.
Doesn't say that.
We don't get in all that.
Baptists are Christians. So, Steve, we have put together a list of the most misspelled words in the dictionary.
I'm here.
So you're ready. All right.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
Accommodate.
A-C-C-O-M-E-N-D-A-T-E.
Man, stop.
Accommodate.
Commendate?
It's accommodate, Steve.
M-A.
Wrong.
D-A-T-E.
Okay.
Ain't it two M's in there?
Just wrong, yeah. It's two M's and it's two C's.
Right.
That's where people always mess that up.
Yeah. I had the two C's. I was close.
Yes, you did. Yeah.
That's pretty good. Spell check can get me from there. Yeah, I hate it when the red line go on it and then I tap it and it say no replacement. That's when I know I'm in trouble. Come on, Shirley.
Supersede.
Supersede. Mm-hmm. Well, hell, S-U-P-E-R-S-E-E-D. Supersede.
Do it again.
I love your logic. Oh, my God.
Supersede.
That's a no-brainer.
Probably, I know, sir. Right? He's almost right, though. Oh, man. S-U-P-E-R-S-E-D-E. Supersede. Okay.
You got to move
supersede.
That E around that
yeah,
other
just,
side.
Yeah,
that's
just
all.
Transpose
you didn't do
the E.
That's all that was. Yeah. That's S-E-D-E.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Here's one. Tyranny.
Tyranny.
Oh, yeah, that's
like that little dude on
Tyrion.
Tyrion.
Oh. On Game of Thrones.
Tyranny is like Braveheart. It's up in there.
Tyranny.
T-E-I-R-A-N-Y.
T-E-I-R.
Tyranny.
That's tire.
You know what, Steve? I love your effort, though. I love your commitment to it, though.
What?
Okay, here we go. Right. T-Y-R-A-N-N-Y. Tyranny. Okay.
Oh, I knew that. Damn, I should have thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Take your time.
Yeah, all right, let me take my time here. Okay,
take your time with this one. Uh-huh. Threshold.
Mm. You ought to be able to get this one, dog.
T-H-R-E-S-H-O-L-D.
Yes!
There you go.
You nailed it.
There you go.
Nailed it.
I took my time. So.
Yeah, you nailed that one.
Sounded it out. Public school, Parkwood Elementary, baby. Y'all come.
Cleveland.
C-L-E-V-E-L-A-N-D. You ain't gonna get me on that one.
I got one for
exhilarate.
Oh, hell.
Huh?
Exhilarate.
Lead him.
Come on. You gotta look it up on your phone.
No, I can't look it up. I can't spell it. Tell me look it up. Just like my damn teacher. If you can't spell it, look it up. Well, hell, if I can look it up, I can spell it. The hell I'm gonna find it and I can't spell it.
All right, come on.
E-X.
Uh-huh.
H I.
Yes.
L.
Yes.
I'm tossed up. The last four is R A T E. But I need to know if I'm going to do an I or an E.
What vowel? It's not.
I before E except after C. Ain't no C in there, so the I must be before
not,
the E.
Neither one of those, Steve.
Pick some more of them.
Exhilarate.
Exhila. A.
Yes.
Yes.
Now put it all together.
E-X-H-I-L-A-R-A-T-E.
Yes.
That's Steve Harvey. That's
what helped. That's what helped.
Dog, that wasn't with no help. That's two in a row. Stop hating, man.
I ain't hating. You put an I in there. You hollered out a C.
You, see, if you keep it up, you're going to be somebody one day.
You damn betcha I will. Come on, next.
Keep it up. Okay, liaison. Liaison.
Huh? Liaison.
Yeah.
Who is liaison?
You know, a liaison.
Yeah.
It's between people.
Yeah.
L I A.
Okay.
Sound S. Liaison.
Today.
Clearly is a liaison.
She said, take my time.
Yes.
L I A.
You got that part right.
Liaison.
How do you make a Zon?
I don't know. We got 30 seconds.
What
hurry
let
up.
Us make Zon?
Come on, Z-O-N. Come on.
I want to say Z, but I know ain't no Z.
Carl already said to say it. Yeah.
L-I-A-S-O-N.
Okay, you almost had it right. You missed an I after the A. L-I-A-I-S-O-N.
That was pretty good,
good
though,
Steve.
That's a hard
word. Yeah, all right, we'll be back.
I'll do one more before we do the little prank.
It ain't no little prank.
And like you said, coming up
the
next.
The prank ain't little and you little.
Coming up next, run that prank back with the nephew. And one more word for Steve in the Steve Harvey Morning Show spelling bee right after this.
I know it's people driving to work going, damn, how the hell did he make
That's what Tommy says all the time.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour in entertainment news, we're going to talk about the sad news. Kate Spade took her own life.
Sad.
Yeah. Issa Rae. And we're going to celebrate Prince on what have been his 60th birthday.
Wow.
This would have been his 60th birthday. And his music today. Lives on, of course,
on
today.
Too
yeah.
soon, man.
Yeah. Man. But before we get to run that prank back, we wanted to give Steve Harvey one more word.
Come on. This boy killing it this morning, man.
Yeah.
And I've been close. I've been close enough where
you
I can
ain't
hit that
killing
shit.
It.
I'm killing Tommy for real. For me,
well,
no,
literally.
No. Tommy, you don't even understand. Just to be in the ballpark.
Yeah. Okay. Amateur.
Amateur?
Yeah.
T-O-M-M-Y.
Oh, no the hell you didn't.
I ain't been an amateur in so damn long.
I think it
that's cold.
Yeah,
that's
it
cold.
Is. We got to transition to the prank right now. What you got, Neff?
I know what I'm doing over here. I ain't got to spell it either.
Spell it, Tom.
Your baby got my baby name. Y-O-U-R-B-A-B-B-Y-G-O-T my M-Y baby B-A-B-Y name N-A-M-E. Your baby got my baby name. Here it is.
Hello?
Hello, I'm trying to reach Patricia.
Speaking. Who is this?
How you doing? Listen, my name is Floyd. I wanted to give you a call. Your daughter, she attends middle school, right?
I'm sorry, what's your name again?
Floyd.
Uh-huh, okay, what can I do for you?
Well, like I said, your daughter, she do go to middle school, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now her name is Derica.
Why you need to know that?
Okay, well...
Is something wrong or something?
No, nothing wrong. I mean, I don't mean to alarm you or nothing like that, but
okay,
let me see.
So what you calling me for?
Well, here's the situation. My daughter actually goes to middle school along with your daughter.
Okay.
And it's a bit of a problem that has arisen that me and my wife just found out about.
Okay. What, they having some issues, Derek and your baby, in some kind of, like, trouble or something?
No, nothing like that. But
my
see,
baby don't fool with nobody at that school. She don't mess with nobody. She on the honor roll and everything. I don't have no problems out of Derica.
Right.
Like
right.
none.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to figure out why you calling me.
Let me tell you, Miss Patricia, what the problem is. See, my daughter's name is Derica.
Okay.
So, and it just blew me and my wife away that it was another Derica that went to school.
Okay, all right. I don't know too many Derrickas. That's a unique name. That's cute. Okay.
Right, right. Well, here's the problem. Me and my wife actually, you know, when it was time to name our child, we thought we was really picking a name that nobody would ever pick out for their daughter. And to have another Derricka in the school, that blew us away. And I guess the real reason why I'm trying to call you, Miss Patricia, is see if there's something maybe we can work out. You know, maybe like your Derricka, does she have a middle name or a nickname she can be called by, in opposed to both of them being Derricka? You
wait,
know, because we really wanted our child to be the only one with this name.
Okay, wait the f*** up. Now you calling me and you asking me to change my baby's name?
Well, I mean, you ain't really got to legally change. I mean, but just start calling her something else, you know?
No, wait a minute. So what, you the naming police or something? Do you know how many Ann's and Lewis's and Patricia's out there? What if I ask every in the United States to change their name from Patricia? You know how crazy that is?
And I understand that.
You must be on drugs.
No, what I'm trying to say is, you know, this is something that we really have for our baby girl, was this name, and we didn't want nobody else to have this. So does your Derricka have a middle name she can use?
No. We're going to call her Derricka like we've been calling her. You name your baby Dee Dee. Let's call your baby Dee Dee then. You change y'all change y'all baby name at the school.
I'm not calling my baby
Dee Dee.
No Dee Dee.
I don't give a what you call it, but I'm not changing my baby name.
Hey, listen. Okay, look. I'm trying to call you and handle this like adults, you know, but you seem to see you're going to push my button and take me to another level.
Obviously, you ain't calling me trying to handle no shit. Just asking me to change my baby name. Call my baby something else at the school because y'all want y'all baby name to be Derricka and the only Derricka in the school. Hey, you know how many other kids at the damn school got the same name?
I understand that, but for my baby girl, it ain't supposed to be like that.
Huh? Well, I'm sorry for your baby girl and your wife, but, you know, I'm not changing my baby damn name. Y'all call y'all baby D.
Now, what I'm trying to do is get it rectified that we can call.
So, how the you get my phone number? I know that school ain't gave you my number.
I got your number. Don't worry about how I got it. The problem is that what we're talking about right now is what can we start calling your child?
I don't give a I know that school ain't called you and gave you my damn number.
Listen, ma'am, all I'm trying to do is figure out what can we start calling your daughter.
Derricka, like she been being called. You and your wife, y'all need to go down to the vital statistics office and get y'all baby name. I conjure up some other kind of name for her. But my baby gonna keep the same damn name.
Let me explain something to you. I've been trying to be calm with you.
You done lost your...
But if you don't find something else to call her, I'm gonna get all the other kids.
How you get my number?
Don't worry about how I got the number. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. If you don't find another name, I'm gonna start getting the kids to call your daughter something else.
You get them to call my baby something else. I promise you, I'm whipping everybody's who called my baby something else.
You're gonna have to change your baby name. I want my baby the name to be Derricka.
Joe, come up in here. This is
Excuse me? My princess is supposed to be the only one named Derricka.
How did you call your baby something else at the school?
I'm going to have these kids starting tomorrow at school calling your daughter something else.
I'm not staying on this phone with you like this number. Hang up off my phone and don't call me.
Let me tell you something. I got one more thing I need to say to you. You listen to me?
What?
Are you listening to me?
I'm listening to you. What?
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your girlfriend.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to get her. Oh, y'all my favorite one. Yo, come in. They didn't prank me on this phone. Oh, I'm so sorry. It's so bad.
You all right, baby?
I'm so sorry. Yes, I'm going to get her.
Your girlfriend
got
you, baby.
I am so sorry. Oh, but you got my nerves bad this morning. Lord have mercy. Lord, I got to catch my breath.
I got one more thing I got to ask you, darling. What is the baddest, I'm talking about the baddest radio show in the land?
Steve Harvey Morning Show. I listen to y'all every morning. Y'all so crazy. Y'all crazy. Lord have mercy. Y'all got my blood pressure up this morning. I love y'all. I listen to y'all show every morning.
See how I do my part. When I do my part, I ain't got to spell it out. I just do it, Uncle Steve.
It's hard to write out stupidity.
S-T-U-P-I-D-I-T-Y.
He knows that, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Called it enough time.
Y'all like my stupidity? Do y'all like my stupidity?
It's fun. It's fun. For sure. Thank you,
nephew.
Much. Yeah. Insecure creator Issa Rae hosted the CFDA Awards. That's the Council of Fashion Design of America, where she made two very powerful statements. First, she walked the red carpet in custom blue pyre moss gown that featured not only over 180,000 Swarovski crystals, but also, most stunningly, a black belt that read, "Every N-word is a star."
Woo! Okay.
Inside the award show, Issa Rae used her onstage time to mock Kanye West. "I'm about as fashionable as Kanye is black, only when it's convenient." She said in her opening monologue that that joke was my choice, just like slavery.
Ooh. To Kanye.
Yeah. Kanye's wife, Kim, was there in the audience. She won the 2018 Influencer Award.
What the belt say again?
"Every N-word is a star."
Steve, you a star!
Well, then rock it.
We got to go. Coming up next, more entertainment news right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, today would have been Prince's 60th birthday. And coming up in about 20 minutes, I know. Minneapolis's own legendary producers Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis are going to talk about Prince's legacy and what he meant to them. Stick around for that, please.
That's powerful.
Very insightful, yeah. In entertainment news, fashion designer Kate Spade was extremely depressed in the last days of her life because her husband wanted a divorce. Now, this is according to TMZ. Andy Spade, of course, is the brother of comedic actor David Spade. Kate and David's brother launched Kate Spade Handbags together back in 1993 and got married in 1994. But recently, Andy was separated from his wife, Kate, and he was living in a nearby apartment. It makes her suicide note particularly interesting and possibly revealing. She wrote to her 13-year-old daughter, Frances Beatrix, "B, I have always loved you. This is not your fault. Ask Daddy." Wow.
You know, that's really bad, first of all, you know, as you know, that's when you lose sight of hope. Mm-hmm. It's when you lose sight of your God. God is always coming, man. Don't ever give up. Whatever you're going through, you can't name anything you've ever gone through that you didn't get through. If you haven't gotten through it, you're currently being pulled through it as we speak. You can't think of anything that you not, on your worst moment, think of a person that you cared about the most who left this world. Do you know how you felt?
Yep.
Did not you think, man, I ain't gonna make it?
I sure did.
Yes, sir.
But are you not here?
Come on. Yeah.
See, I know that feeling, man. I know what that feels like. That's how I know that God can bring you through anything. You do not have to succumb to Satan. You do not. The devil don't have to win. He's a liar. He does not have to win. He has no power over you unless you give it to him. God hears. He is so much hope for you. If you call on God in your darkest moment, he will answer. That's his promise. He will either remove the obstacle or give you strength to deal with it. One of the two things would happen. But he will not walk away and leave you alone. Mm. He will not.
Yeah.
He will not.
That was powerful.
Oh, she was,
people need to hear that this morning.
No, man, that's really because this suicide thing, you've gotten to a point in your life where you don't see the goodness of God. You have lost your focus, and now the negativity is consuming you.
Yeah. Well, actually, you're right, Steve, because it says she was obsessed about the news report of Robin Williams' suicide back in 2014. Her sister said that she had a debilitating mental illness for the last 3 or 4 years. She was self-medicating with alcohol. Again, she was obsessed with Robin Williams' suicide. And we all know she hanged herself in her bathroom.
All of that can be true. There are people who are suffering from mental things. I'm not an expert at that. I'm not saying that. But if you're listening to this radio show, I am telling you there is a God that is in the hear and answer prayer business. That's what he do. Keyword, hear and answer. Mm-hmm. You can't go to God and he turn his back on you. That's not what he does.
Such sad news.
Man, and you write this note to your little girl. How selfish is that?
Yeah.
I love you. Well, why? You stay here then.
Yeah. She needs you.
Hell, be my mama. Help me get this.
Okay. It is time to get caught up with today's national news, Steve.
Ladies and gentlemen, the impressive one and only Miss Ann Tripp.
Thank you, Steve. Good morning, everybody out there. This is the news, and this is Ann Tripp. Okay, I'm going to start with some good news for a change. A 63-year-old great-grandmother will now be released from prison after serving close to 22 years behind bars. That was 22 years out of a life sentence for a nonviolent first-time drug offense. President Trump has commuted Alice Johnson's sentence only a few days after Kim Kardashian met with him to plead her case in person. Kardashian has now gone on Twitter to thank both the president and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who has been overseeing the administration's work on prison reform. For Kim's part, she says she intends to keep fighting for people like Alice Johnson. Way to go, Kim. On another matter yesterday, the president signed a major Veterans Affairs reform bill, changing the way of in many things, but it changes also the way the VA pays for private health care. Now, critics of this bill have complained that too much spending on outside care, which is apparently is the way it's going to go, could drain funding from the VA's own health care setup, rated as good or better than the private sectors in most states. The G7 summit takes place this weekend amid escalating hurt feelings and tensions over the president's decision to impose tariffs on steel and aluminum products. However, the White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow says this administration feels the American worker is where the focus should be.
We will do what is necessary to protect the United States, its businesses, and its workforce so that we may have disagreements, we may have tactical disagreements, but he has always said tariffs are a tool in that effort.
Mexico, Canada, and the European Union all planning to impose retaliatory levies on American goods. The G7 summit, by the way, taking place tomorrow and Saturday in Quebec. The remains of a Black American woman who died 100 years ago today, scheduled to be entombed in Denver's Cathedral Basilica of the Immaculate Conception later today. Julia Greeley was her name. She was a former slave who lost an eye as a child as a result of a brutal beating by her slave master. But after emancipation, she moved to Denver. She worked as a housekeeper for a wealthy white family and used her salary and also sought donations to provide food, clothing, and other things to poor whites as well as poor blacks. She became known as the Angel of Charity. When she died, hundreds of people attended her funeral, black and white. Newspapers wrote about it, even as far as New York. There's a move underway to eventually gain sainthood for Julia Greeley. And finally, for those who love Shaq, as in Shaq Diesel, Shaq O'Keel O'Neal, who have the money, know that Shaq Diesel's Orlando, Florida home on the market. It's going for $1 million a room, and there are 28 of them. Lord, love a duck. More entertainment, today's trending topics, 20 minutes after the hour, the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Prince would have been 60 today, 60 years old today. He died on April 21st, 2016. His career highlights include 19 top 10 hits, 5 number 1 hits. Of course, we're talking When Doves Cry, Let's Go Crazy, Kiss, and Cream. Yeah, all of those.
Great.
Yeah. 16 top. Yeah, Dore. 16.
Sign of the Time.
Mm-hmm. So many.
Ballad of Dorothy Parker. If I was your girlfriend,
diamonds and pearls.
Boy, I mean, that boy is a monster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 16
house quake.
When the house knew about the quake.
16 top 10 albums, 4 number 1 albums, including Purple Rain, an Oscar for Best Original Song Score for Purple Rain, a 7-time Grammy winner, induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame back in 2004, halftime performer at the Super Bowl, oh my God, 2007. How can we forget that one?
Essence Festival.
That was greatness.
He turned that thing out.
Greatness, greatness, greatness. Back in 1998, sing it, Steve. Prince did an interview on BET as to why he got into the music business. Take a listen.
I got in the music business because I loved playing so much. You don't really get into the business to be a star, at least I didn't. I didn't get in to make a whole bunch of money or anything like that or meet a whole bunch of women. Mm-hmm. Just so happens those are the things that came along with it.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
Yes.
Well, good looking women.
Your royal badness.
I had to clap for you, Prince. A couple times I had to bow down. I took my hat off for Prince in honor of the purple. Boy, you don't even understand, boy. That boy right there, I ain't never seen him with a blow chick. He didn't even have a so-so.
All of
them. That boy had 12.
Fine.
Well, he was Prince, guys. Come on.
Well, you're like, where you find him at, though?
They found him. You heard it. They
but I'm
going to
tell
him.
You something, man. When that boy left this world, the world knew it. Mm-hmm. Niagara Falls went purple.
Yeah.
You got to get two countries to come to an agreement for that to happen.
Yeah.
All purple lights went across Niagara Falls. Empire State Building was purple. The White House went purple. The doggone Eiffel Tower went purple. Mm-hmm. They put purple on London Bridge mm-hmm. and Big Ben. That boy was massive.
Worldwide.
The tallest building in Dubai, in the world, Balish, whatever they call it, Khalifa, whatever that is, that went purple. Hmm. That's when you funky, man.
Oh, yeah.
Legend, Steve.
Like when I die.
What?
They're going to just have just big-ass lips everywhere.
Man.
And mustache.
Yes. Chiseled
mustache
into the mountain.
On the Eiffel Tower.
All right, coming up in about 10 minutes, guys, at 34.
I'm going to have T-shirts at the funeral with lips on.
Lips. Coming up in about 10 minutes, 34 after the hour, Minneapolis legendary producers Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis will talk about Prince's legacy, what he meant to them. Right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Okay, Steve, as we celebrate today on what would have been Prince's 60th birthday, we talked to legendary producers Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis about Prince and being from Minneapolis. And what did Prince teach them?
I mean, he found the most clever ways I've ever heard to say something really profound in the simplest way to make us actually get something profound and not run from it or... He didn't speak in esoteric terms as much as some people do when they're trying to say something profound. I mean, the first time you hear it, you realize it's different, and you realize it's personal, mm-hmm. and you realize it's a message that's condensed. We did a thing in I think it was Rolling Stone magazine, and we were asked the question of what advice you would give an artist. I had these two long paragraphs, and Prince had two words: "Be yourself."
Ball on this up.
Be yourself. I love that. That's what something. About you guys, Jimmy Jam, Terry?
Well, when I think about Prince, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind is. There's certain people in your life, and there's very few of them, that when you achieve a level of success, as we've been blessed to do, you could honestly say it wouldn't have happened without them. Mm-hmm. Prince is one of those people. Mm-hmm. Because Terry and I were just, you know, local guys in Minneapolis making music like so many other local guys in Minneapolis. There was a lot of talented folks up there. Prince was the one that broke through. And he broke through in a way that was so big and so influential, it made everybody else come back and go, wait a minute, what else is up in Minneapolis?
Oh,
and the what else was us. And, you know, Morris Day and and Jelly Bean Johnson and all the folks, you know. So Prince, for me, is just, it's the reason that we're even sitting here having this conversation, the reason that we're here with Peebo today, we're here with Steve and all you guys today. I mean, it's as simple as that. If it wasn't for him, there wouldn't really be an us.
Wow. We're talking about Prince and the influence he's had on you guys' lives, and what do you think about him as an artist and all of that. His birthday is this coming Thursday. What about you, Terry?
One of the most amazing artists ever. A friend, a brother. The thing that I think he influenced us most with is work ethic. Mm-hmm. This man worked tirelessly. Mm-hmm. And he loved music. Probably more than life. This man was music. That was the thing about him that I always remember. He never stopped playing music. We would go to rehearsal. He'd come to our rehearsal, rehearse with us. He'd go to his band's rehearsal, rehearse with them. We go get dressed and go out at night.
He'd play.
We'd play all night. And then he'd come back in the morning at our rehearsal and play us what he recorded after we left the club at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, imagine somebody walking in, and this is back in the days of cassettes, for those that remember cassettes.
Oh, yeah.
He would walk into our rehearsal with a cassette, and he'd go, here's what I did last night. and all of a sudden 1999 comes on.
What?
And it's like,
oh my God. That song scared the devil out of me.
It scared the
Jesus out
of a lot of
people. I thought it was going to end at 1999.
It scared the Jesus out of a lot of people.
It did. It did, man.
Wow. Such great memories, you guys. Yeah. Prince was music. I think that kind of sums it up, really.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to tell you, man, the greatest song I've ever heard Prince do was Adore. And he has some great ones. Oh, I want you to understand, Adore, though, how rich that song is, man. Until the end of time, I'll be there for you. You are my heart and mind. I truly adore you. And if God one day struck me blind, your beauty I would still see. Lord have mercy. Love is too weak to define just what you mean to me.
That's the jam, though, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
That is the jam.
Up next, the nephew has a prank phone call. It's coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, it's today's Strawberry Letter. Subject, can a menage a trois save my marriage?
Hell yes! Oh, no, you're not going to get past this without me talking about it. What are we talking about? What? Everybody need to cut this up right now.
I hate it. Right now, it is time for the nephew.
I'm going to actually let you do this.
Oh, no. You're going to regret those words, Steve.
No, I know I am, but I'm going to let him go ahead and do the damn letter today.
He already answered.
Yes. Right now, it is time for the King of Pranks and a prank phone call. What do you have for us today, sir?
Shirley?
Yes.
Corporal punishment.
Oh.
Ooh. Yes, I think it's time. I think we bring it back.
Beating the kids.
Whoopings in school. Ain't nothing like whoopings in school. Corporal punishment. Here it is.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, I'm trying to reach a Mr. Cotton.
This is Mr. Cotton.
Okay, can you turn your radio or TV down? I can't really hear you.
Oh, yes, sir.
My name is Mr. Lanson. I'm actually the new principal here at middle school.
And what's the name again?
Mr. Lanson.
Mr. Lanson, okay.
Your son, he attends middle school here, am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Listen, I'm the new principal here. We've just replaced the last principal, and I'm actually calling around. What I've done is before I got here, I asked for a list of students that were, you know, I'm not going to say problem kids, but, you know, that kind of get themselves in a little trouble here and there, and your son's name happens to be on the list.
Name is on that list?
Yes, I got about 35 kids that are actually on this list, and you are Mr. Cotton, correct?
I am Mr. Cotton. I mean, are you sure you speaking about my son, though?
Yeah, I mean, there's only one on the list, sir. It's what's been given to me, and what I'm doing is calling around to all of the parents and letting you guys know that I'm going to be keeping a close eye on them, as well as letting you know that I'm going to be reinstating corporal punishment here in the school. So
corporal punishment? What's that?
That's actually where if your son gets sent to the office, which is my office, then there will be paddling going on, in opposed to detention. I don't believe in suspension. I believe in, you know, if we spank these kids, we can get them back in order. So
you going to spank him?
Sir, here's my thing. I really truly believe that if we get back to you know, and I don't mean what I'm about to say to be harsh, but if we get back to beating, we'll get these kids back in order.
I mean, but I know he had trouble in English, but I don't think that calls for a beating, for a low grade.
No. This has nothing to do with grades, sir. This has to do with punishment. And what I'm understanding is if your son is on my list, and if your son comes down to my office, I'm going to take care of it right then
I
and then.
Tell you what, if my son comes to your office, you're going to be on my damn list.
Sir, I'm trying to get these kids back in order, and that's the reason why I've been brought in and I've replaced the last principal. You understand? So what I need from you is to get a great understanding that if your child comes to my office, corporal punishment will be what he's going to deal with.
Well,
okay?
I tell you what. Let my son come home and tell me he got some damn corporal punishment, and the next morning, me and you going to do some corporal punishment.
Sir, do you want your child in order, or do you want to be bailing his butt out of jail at the age of 18?
They're going to be bailing me out of jail if you put your damn hands on my son.
Okay, are you taking care of your son punishment-wise at home?
You need to... My son don't get in no damn trouble.
Here's the problem. Parents not believing that their children get in any trouble. That's the first problem.
Well, then, I got email, I got phone call. So the first phone call I get is going straight to whipping. It ain't no letter sent home, ain't no email sent home saying there is a problem.
I'm going to calm down here. I'm going to tell you once again, I am not going to send your son to detention. I'm not going to call you. I'm going to take care of my job. My job is to make sure.
I'm going to take care of mine. When you take care of yours, I'm going to take care of mine. And that's protect my son. And you put your hands on him, and we got a problem.
Oh, we're going to have a problem because I'm telling you right now, I'm calling you and giving you the warning. Your son will be dealt with.
And you're going to be dealt with.
Will be dealt with on a regular basis if need be.
You're going to get dealt with on a regular basis. You're going to get tired of seeing me.
Okay, sir, do I need to actually have corporal punishment with you?
I tell you what, when you bring that corporal punishment to me, you better have the police there, because they going to need corporal punishment. They going to need whatever else. They going to need the SWAT team when I get down. You put your hands on my son. I know that.
You know what, sir? Maybe the whooping needs to start with you. It has
Dang
to.
Matter of fact, what time do you go to lunch? We can do this in front of the cafeteria and let all the kids see the damn principal get his damn corporal punishment.
Hey, sir, I don't fear you, first of all.
I don't want you to fear me, because I want you to stand there and take your whipping like a man. I don't want to chase you around like no little around the school.
Sir, the bottom line is corporal punishment is being instated. Your son is going to abide by it. You're going to have to accept it. Or
I tell you what, you said you got 35 names on your list. It better be 34, because the cotton name better not be on no corporal punishment list. I know
listen, he's not on a corporal punishment list. He's on a list of kids that act up from time to time.
My damn son don't act up. My son is a model student. He got a little trouble with English, you know, because his mama a little slow. But I did that. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? Sometimes I feel like I'm talking to the child right now.
You talking to a grown man, and if you put your hands on my son, you're going to see that I'm a grown man when I come down there.
Okay.
I'm the only one put my hands on my damn son.
Then I guess it's going to be a lot of kicking, sir.
It's going to be some kicking, and you line them up. Assistant principal, I'll kick the cafeteria later. I come down there if she got something to say.
You're going to watch your tone, you understand me? And you're gonna take what I'm telling you.
I'm a grown man. Who are you yelling at?
I don't care what you're saying. Everybody's going to abide. I put chains on the door. I make sure.
Oh, Joe Clark putting chains on the door? I thought your name was Lansom. You Joe Clark.
I'm Mr. Lansom, and these kids are going to abide by what I want, and so are the parents. And damn it, you, Mr. Cotton, you're going to have to toughen up and let me do my damn job.
I tell you what, then you go on and do what you got to do today. But when I get down there, you better have the police when I get there.
I tell you who else I'm going to have here.
If you tell me who the you going to have down there then.
I'm going to have Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show, because that's who I am. Your co-worker, Silver, you got me to prank phone call you.
What? What? Every time, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to break next time I catch you, Sylvia, that's why you ain't get laid on that down at the job. Don't play about my damn kids, man. Don't be putting your damn hands on my boy. Boy, Tommy. Boy, I was on my way. I was looking for my damn keys when we were talking. I was going to whip your this morning.
Hey, listen, I got one more thing to ask you, Mr. Cotton.
What's that, man?
What's the baddest radio show in the land?
Man, that Steve Harvey Morning Show. I love y'all, man.
You think we ought to bring it back? What y'all think? What you think, Uncle Steve? Bring them back?
Well, you know.
I know times have changed. Yeah, I know.
Totally
that.
Different.
We got spanked at home because we couldn't get spanked.
I got SWATs at school.
No. If you got SWATs at school,
yeah.
Oh, you get beat down at the house.
No, you get the SWAT at school and don't tell them nothing about it.
You don't let your mama know you got swats at school. Why
they let your mama know. The teachers don't.
Your parents found out, for sure.
Yeah, your son had to do 10 swats.
Yeah, they told him.
We had different principals.
I was thinking to myself, well, how did my mom find out?
Yeah, because mine sure did.
Yeah. All right, nephew, you're going to do something for your wife, throw her party.
You know, the AKAs are coming to Houston. It's called the Boule. It's their national convention. Mm-hmm, Saturday, July 7th. This is me throwing this now. You have to let them know. This is not an AKA party. This is a Nephew Tommy. I'm hooked up with these guys called Blazers and Bowties. Nephew Tommy, along with Blazers and Bowtie, a night in the city. We are at the Health Museum in Houston, Texas. Keyword, open bar. That's all I got to say. Go to eventbrite.com and get your ticket. Open bar. I don't need to say nothing else.
It sounds like fun, though, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Nephew. Coming up, today's Strawberry Letter subject, can a menage a trois save my marriage? Right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Before we get to the Strawberry Letter, guys, the subject today, can a menage a trois save my marriage?
Oh, Tommy. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted. Go ahead, Shirley. Go ahead.
We have to talk about this really great movie that's getting ready to come out. And I'm excited about this movie because I've seen them all. Okay, all of the stars is born.
First time you done broke it up like that.
A Star Is Born. Oh my God!
So the first one was.
It was with Judy Garland.
I that's before me. Now.
Yeah, Judy Garland and James Mason. That's the one I saw.
Yeah.
Oh. Then it was Barbara Streisand and Kris Kristofferson.
That was the one.
That's the one I saw. Yes.
But when you throw in Bradley Cooper now.
Ooh, that's my man. God. I love Bradley.
Those piercing blue eyes he has.
But I didn't know. Yes. They say he could actually, he's a singer.
He's a legitimate singer. He's a musician. Not to mention he's a writer, producer, and director. A lot of talent going right there. And Lady Gaga, we all know that she can act. She can sing.
She's a bad girl.
Yeah,
man.
She's quite a performer. She really is.
But let's not, what we're not going to do is act like Dave Chappelle ain't up in
Dave
here.
Dave Chappelle! We got
a supporting cast up in here. And I am a Sam Elliott fan.
Yeah, he's a great actor. Great voice. Yes. And Andrew Dice Clay.
You got to be kidding me here.
Yeah, that's really cool. This is a stellar cast. The film looks incredible. Powerful for both men and women, I'll say that.
I like it.
And it just gives you a reason. I think this is kind of a date night movie. I look forward to seeing Lady Gaga, though.
Yeah.
Because I think she's
on the big screen.
She's going to surprise y'all.
Yeah, I think she can really bring this character to life.
She's an artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She is, yeah. And she can, of course, really act.
Bradley and Gaga, I like it.
Well, A Star Is Born coming to a theater near you real soon.
Uh-huh, that's right.
He kills me.
I love it.
Tommy is doing today's Strawberry Letter. I've never turned over the Strawberry Letter to him. Never.
Mm-hmm.
But Steve, this one right here, I want people to see just how much trouble you can get in with your damn mouth.
Buckle up. Hold on tight. We got it for you. Here it is. Strawberry Letter.
Ooh, he's so excited.
I know. Subject, can a menage a trois save my marriage?
Jesus!
Dear Stephen Shirley, I have known my husband for 20 years, and we've been married for 3 years. He cheated on me multiple times with multiple women, but I'm standing by my wedding vows. I always prayed that the good Lord would see us through his infidelity, and now we're rebuilding our marriage. Not many women would be as forgiving as I am. Having said all of that, I still have plenty of good sense, and I've reached my limit on foolishness. So, you can only imagine how I felt recently when my husband asked me for a threesome.
Yes.
Yes, he asked me more than once to have another woman join us in the bedroom. He said that it will keep him from fantasizing about other women and having the urge to cheat. I told him he needs professional help and a better relationship with the Lord. He told me that I need to obey him like I obey the Lord and give him what he wants. Like I said, I stand by my vows and I do submit and obey my husband to an extent, but this time he has gone too far. The God that I serve would not condone this. I don't want to lose my marriage, but this man may need more than I can give him. Please help me figure this one out. Wow, and as we mentioned earlier, Steve will not be responding. Tommy will. Jesus.
I will at the other end.
You're going to have to. I can almost guarantee you
that. I'll cover the second
half. Okay, all right. All right, well, you know what? You asked for us to please help you figure this one out. I think, in your heart of hearts, You already have this figured out. You know what the deal is. You just want Steve and I to confirm it for you. I mean, you have to ask yourself, wedding vows aside for a second, why are you still taking this cheating and these ridiculous requests from your husband? I mean, why are you still standing in all of this? Your husband is disrespectful, he's selfish, and has obviously no regard for you, your marriage, or your marriage vows. Just because you've known him for 20 years and have been hanging in there, it doesn't mean you can't put his trifling butt in his place. Let him know how you really, really feel, just like you told us in the letter. I mean, you're right. Not many women would be as forgiving as you are. So many women are, though. But I, you know, this is a lot. 20 years he's been cheating on you with multiple women and you're still there. I just don't know how much more you think you can take. I mean, or are you willing to take? Why are you willing to take this? You don't have to. You don't have to. There is nothing in the marriage vows that say you have to stay here if he's cheating on you like this. This is ridiculous. You know, like I said, I think you figured this out on your own. You know what to do. You just want Steve and I to confirm it. If he continues to do this, you got to get out of this. I think you made a good suggestion. He does need professional help and a better relationship with the Lord. Having said that, Tommy, you're up.
Glad you finished with the Lord. Obey me.
Never be finished with the Lord.
Like you obey the Lord. Uh-huh. Obey me the same way. What do the vows say? What do they say? Honor and obey. Don't they say that?
Yeah.
Huh?
A lot of women don't keep those in there, though.
But they in there. But you can't just take out what you want. So let me say this to you. Get some more people in this room. I didn't ask for it and ask for it. Now, I quit flirting with other women if you do what? Get some more people in this room. I apologize for the 20 years of disrespecting you and cheating. I'm asking you now.
Wow.
So I don't have to cheat on you. We do this together. You want to do stuff together? Let's do stuff together. Get some more people in this room. That's what I want. I'm asking you to your face for a menage a trois, whatever they call it, trio. It's what I want.
Just
it's
say
what
a threesome. I'm
threesome. Uh-huh. Yes. Asking you for it. Oh, I hope she's listening this morning. Another thing, the cheating stops as soon as you get somebody in this room. We can do it together.
So it's okay to cheat as long as you're in the
bedroom. We're doing it together. Wow. This is fun. This is.
Shirley, this is answer?
Mm. Yeah.
What kind of answer you want? Yeah. What you want me to say to him? Oh, he wrong? He shouldn't be asking you these kind of questions?
No, Steve is wrong for letting you do this. Oh, that's just wrong.
No, this is a beautiful thing. We got to get it all out in the open. Mm-hmm. You understand that? That's how naked gets better, when you get it out in the open. You ain't felt naked till you're out there comfortable with yourself and she out there with you.
Wow.
Naked together, and we inviting friends over.
Uh-huh.
Come on over to the house. You understand? Come on over to the house. We're going to have food. We're going to have all drinks. We're going to be naked. And all of us going to be in there together having what? Butt naked fun. I've never been butt naked not having fun. Tell me that. But she don't know it, if she don't try it,
wow.
And she wants this to work, she love a man. Mm. She don't want to leave. What did she say? I'm standing by my wedding vows. Yes, you are. Stand by your man, baby. Stand by your man naked. Naked is what naked. I'm trying to say something profound. Naked
we'll
is.
Back.
We'll
be back.
Hopefully, Steve, you can help. 23 after the hour is when we'll be back with this strawberry letter subject. Can a menage a trois save my marriage?
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Y'all come on, with Steve. Me, huh? Y'all good with me?
We got to get to part two of this strawberry letter. The subject, can a menage a trois save my marriage? Please let's recap.
First of all, it's a ridiculous statement for this woman to make. She's been with this husband for 20 years. They've been married 3. He's cheated on her multiple times with multiple women. She's standing by her wedding vows. She's prayed that the good Lord would see us through this infidelity. Now they're rebuilding their marriage, and she realizes that not many women would be as forgiving as I am. Having said that, and she still got plenty of good sense, she has reached her limit of foolishness. So can only imagine how we felt when he recently asked her for a threesome. He asked this lady more than once to have another woman join us in the bedroom. He said it will keep him from fantasizing about other women and having the urge to cheat. She told him he needs professional help and a better relationship with the Lord. He told her that I need to obey him like I obey the Lord and give him what he wants. Well, the lady then said, I stand by my vows and I do submit and obey my husband to an extent, but this time he's gone too far. God I serve would not condone this. I don't want to lose my marriage. That's a key line here. But this man may need more than I can give him. Please help me figure this out. It's nothing to figure this out. Listen to me. First of all, you're the only one honoring the vows in this relationship. You're the only one. He has never honored the vows, and he's not willing to honor them now. You don't really have a real marriage. You have something, but he's not married to you. You're just married to him. Now, the cold part about this dude is he didn't ask you to have a threesome. And the reason he told you that, because it would keep him from fantasizing about other women and having the urge to cheat. What? So you think if you bring another woman in the bedroom, it'll stop you from fantasizing about them and it'll cause you not to want to cheat. When the whole time you in there living out of fantasy and cheating and your wife watching. Boy, bye.
I love it.
I mean, for real. Are you serious? So what this man has done, he's pulled a Donald Trump on you. He has flipped the narrative.
Okay.
He actually got you thinking that it's because of you that he's having to fantasize and cheat. And if you wanted to stop, you would bring in a third party. Then you would have your husband not cheating and fantasizing. But the whole time he play living out of fantasy and he cheating right in front of you with your permission. Lady, you're not that stupid. You can't be. And then he keeps talking about you should obey him the way you obey the Lord. What? Boy, you ain't the Lord.
Thank you.
You ain't even close. Here's the problem with the bringing a woman into the marriage. That's already in trouble.
I'm listening.
How do you fix what's wrong with another wrong? He's not trying to fix his marriage. He's trying to get all his urges and fantasies fulfilled. And they don't include you. They include other women. I can't believe you entertaining this. I can't believe you're still married to this dude. Why are you married to him? Yeah. It's only, y'all only got 20 years invested. My question is, why don't you leave so you can stop this misery you in? And do you want 20 more years of this? Because that's all he's trying to do. He need to be married to a stripper.
Yeah.
He need to go down there and just get one of them girls down off that pole.
Two of them.
That he don't mind doing this with. And look, man, they'll work with you. They will work with you. This is so sad.
Yeah, it is.
And I want to apologize for my damn nephew.
Thank you.
Thank
you. I'm so sorry.
But meanwhile, around this country, I'm just telling you, they blowing their horn up on this one here. I'm telling you now. A lot of them can't see it at the house, but a bunch of them in their car right now, you know what they doing? Yeah.
Why are they blowing their horn?
They blowing their horn because I said, if you are a brother that's a man that's riding around right now, you would like to have a threesome at the house. Just hear it now and then. Blow your horn. That's all I said.
They are blowing. And that is so crazy. Oh, get your life. Get some Lord in your life. Okay. All right. Well, Steve, we got to get out of here. You can email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter. 2 minutes? Okay, good. All right, well, you can say more, Steve, if you want.
No.
Okay, so let me just ask you something. This man to man, you ain't never had that thought in your... Before marriage, you ain't never had that
hell
thought?
Hell yeah.
He's told us his experience, though, Tommy. Remember?
No,
I'm
not trying.
That's right. He didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah, it didn't work out for him.
The most confusing thing ever did.
What happened, Steve?
most of the damn confusing thing that I did. I didn't know how to do it. I needed some instruction. I need a manual when I was in there. I didn't know.
What? Doing
okay,
a
we've been kissing for 5 seconds. I'm going to kiss her for 5. I was back and forth. I was so tired of turning over in that bed.
We're exhausted.
One of the funniest stories ever to me.
I was flipping from side to side. I was so damn confused.
It was exhausted and confused. Yeah.
I ain't even like one of them. I was trying to spend more time with the other one. Tapping me. I was going, hold up.
But let me ask you this,
Steve. Hold up.
Before, did you think this was like the greatest thing ever?
Oh, you could. Dog, I thought this was it.
The pinnacle. You had reached
That's
it.
Funny, Steve.
And then you got there. And, oh Lord.
What the hell?
Man.
Damn myself evenly. I can't do it.
This is not what I thought it was.
All right, Steve, we got to go. Email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at SteveHarvey.com and SteveHarveyFM and at My Girl Shirley. And today, don't forget, at 1:30 p.m., join me for the Strawberry Letter Live After Show on Facebook. Thank you. We'll be back with more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this. And our girl from the talk, Cheryl Underwood, will be here.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, our girl is here from the
Cheryl
talk.
Underwood.
Steve Harvey. Let me tell you something, Steve Harvey. My main man. I got a question, Steve.
I'm here.
Okay, they done put the swimsuits out of Miss America.
Man.
When we see some navels at Miss Universe, can I see some booty cheeks? Can I see anything? Can I wear my Santa Soul outfit?
I have a prepared statement that I'm supposed to give, but I can't find it. I lost it
yesterday.
Then don't say nothing.
Never
say a word.
Never mind. Hey, Jack Johnson got a pardon because Sylvester Stallone called over there. Mm-hmm. Now the other young lady, what's her name, Shirley?
Alice Johnson.
Alice Johnson, got a pardon because Kim Kardashian went over there.
Went to the White House.
Yeah, she's 63 years old. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do I need to go to the White House and see if he can wipe everything off of every relative I got that been involved with anything?
Or send Kim.
Listen
to
me.
Kardashian.
I know I got some people that got some situations on the state level and some federal level stuff. I'll let your boy if you want to work that out. Wait a minute. It's so much stuff going on. And, you know, we're praying for people because it's a lot of stuff going on. But I think I found a new race of man that I need to date.
Oh.
Okay.
Now I got to go to the Chinese because they got the money now. Because they said some kind of stock surge in China is making janitors billionaires.
What?
China.
What, Cheryl?
Listen to me. They making millionaires and billionaires over in China. Remember when the Russian people was making all the money? Mm-hmm. And now they had to. Now I got to go to China. So, all I'm saying, I go where the money is. Don't get quiet on me. I go where the money is.
Don't judge you.
That's right. Don't judge me, Carla. I'm trying to get my retirement money. Play if you want to. I'm trying to add my CBS and Steve Harvey radio money to some Chinese millionaire money over in China. What?
Crazy.
I'm about to say something. You know what? Maybe Julie Chen could teach me some Mandarin so that I would learn how to do it because she's Chinese too.
Oh, she's fluent.
Yeah, she's my friend, and she would teach me how to function over there and everything.
Okay, mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Right.
Maybe I could wear the sticks in my head like Angela Beaufield used to. Did I go too far back?
Yeah, you went way back there.
With Angela Beaufield.
Angela Beaufield.
Yeah. Well, while we going way back, what day is it? Is it Prince's birthday?
Oh, yeah. Yes. 60 years old today, Cheryl.
So you know what that means.
What?
Everybody need to make purple Kool-Aid. They need to make purple Kool-Aid. They need to make, did you know that there was purple potatoes?
Yeah.
Yes, they're
delicious.
Purple potatoes.
Eat them all the time.
They're delicious.
See, that's why you stay healthy, man. And you be wearing your skinny pants and everything. You stay
healthy. Oh, I'm going to flip the script on them this year.
Skinny pants.
Oh, you going to buy the baggies?
No.
What you going to do?
I'm on my talk show.
Uh-huh.
I am reinventing the suit collection on the talk show this year.
What?
Oh, wow.
Stay
That's big.
Tuned.
Steve,
the
so you
new reinvented Steve Harvey will be out this fall.
So are you saying that I can get a three-piece Steve Harvey ensemble? I need five pieces. I need gaucho. I need skirt. I need a vest.
Gotcha.
And I need some baggy pants to go zip, snap, and drop Steve Harvey. You better come on, boy.
Boy, boy.
You know what you need to, you know what you need to put out too, Steve?
That's just a teaser so far. What?
You need to put out mustache combs.
Okay. He use a rake.
And you should have his and her mustache eyebrow combs. You can make a fortune with a little bitty baby comb, Steve Harvey. Don't act like I don't have a mustache, Steve Harvey. You have talked to me many a day that you told me to go over there and get some of that masking tape and wax that mustache. You said go get some masking tape and wax that mustache. That's right. Because you know black people don't have no real wax. He said, take that masking tape and fix that right there and then pull that right down on your chin and get them whiskers, Cheryl, before you come on my show. I love you, Steve Harvey.
You ain't got no sense.
Steve is my best friend in the whole wide world in my mind.
In your mind?
In my mind, yeah. He loaned me money. He give me career advice and stuff like that.
Career advice.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You bought that car your damn self.
Amen. That's the gospel of prosperity, Steve Harvey. I believe in it. That's how the Lord said, drive a Bentley and show who I am.
Amen.
That's not blasphemous, is it, Shirley?
No, ma'am.
Hey, because I believe in the gospel of prosperity. Everything I got, the Lord gave it to me, and I'm grateful for it.
Blessings.
That's right. If I could just get my life together and give up that liquid potato, I'd be all right. Did I go too far? Let me go find something to do.
Tito's.
That liquid potato is a killer. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Okay, it be calling me in the middle of the night. You know, have you ever drank something out your refrigerator with the door open? That means you got a problem.
Only way to do it.
What?
Only way to do it.
That's right, Steve.
In your drawers.
With the door open with your drawers on, man, drinking right out the jar.
That's right.
Yo.
We all wanted to grow up to do that, yeah.
Did she say,
That's hydration.
Just swallow.
But girl, a little bit go so down crazy. Your chin and drip on your chest.
Yes, Lord. And then after you get that good swallow, you got to pick up a cold piece of chicken and eat it over the sink so you'll get the
gone, girl. Gone, girl. Gone.
I'ma go, Steve Harvey, before I mess up my good CBS job. I'm out.
Yeah. Bye, Cheryl. You're crazy.
You're crazy. Wow.
She's stupid.
She is crazy. So you did that before, Steve? Drink something out of the refrigerator?
Yeah, man. I want to do that, man. My daddy did it every night. In his drawers, walking to that refrigerator, drinking out that water jar that you're supposed to pour into a glass.
Glass, yeah. But they could do it, but let a kid do that?
Oh, you better get your butt.
I bought all this in here.
Ooh. Yeah. And you wanted to do it.
Man, I saw my daddy drinking out the orange juice one time. I said, damn, I can't do none of that.
But you wanted to. Ooh.
Oh, you did it while they were gone, though. You did it while they were gone.
I did it one time. My mama came up behind me. My mama hit me so hard in the back of the head. I threw that whole half gallon of Tropicana up in that damn refrigerator. It was spilling there while I was trying to pick it up. Because I knew I was going to get a deep ass woman if I spill all this stuff. She got to clean that refrigerator. You just sitting here just wasting orange juice like you working.
Oh, and that Tropicana was something back then.
That was good.
Yes, yes, it was. All right, listen, Carla's coming up next with her reality update.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Let's go. Get ready, get ready, get ready. It's that time. She is here, Carla Farrell, with reality update.
Thank you, nephew. Let's start off talking about keeping up with the Kardashians. And we have to say congratulations, man. Kim Kardashian, she did it, man. She persuaded President Trump to commute the sentence of Alice Marie Johnson, a 63-year-old grandmother serving life behind bars for cocaine trafficking. This was her first offense. And the clemency grant comes only 1 week after Kim visited the president to talk about the case. So congratulations to Kim Kardashian West, doing big things. And also, Kris Jenner says that Khloe Kardashian will be home soon in LA and that Khloe and Tristan Thompson will spend their summer in Los Angeles to raise their daughter. She is so cute.
Oh,
True.
Yeah.
That
She's
little
adorable.
Baby is adorable. Mm-hmm. True will be around all her cousins and Khloe and the family. Now, they say that Tristan is dreading
summer trip because, you know, he knows that Khloé's sisters are mad at him right now, but he's definitely going to try to get back on their good side. And speaking of the Kardashians, this Sunday, get ready. It's the season premiere of Celebrity Family Feud.
Yes, sir. That's my uncle, y'all.
Yeah, hosted by our very own Steve Harvey, our boss. It's the Kardashians versus Kanye West, the West family.
Mm-hmm. It looked good.
Listen. Get ready for this. Take a listen to this promo.
Okay,
I love it.
Go ahead. I want to apologize about this first question, dog. Just, I have nothing to do with the questions.
Uh-oh.
Top five answers on the board. Here we go. We asked 100 women, name a reason you think Steve Harvey's a good kisser.
Lips.
Go ahead, Kanye.
Come on, Kanye.
I'm here to win, bro. I'm here to win.
I mean, are they that obvious?
Yeezy.
Come on, Yeezy.
Come on, Yeezy.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yep. Steve, you excited, huh, this Sunday?
Yeah. The Kardashians is going to be, I'm telling you, man, this is the biggest thing that's happened. The press for this show alone is just, it's nothing like it.
How'd you get them to do it?
They are a moving machine. Well, they wanted to do it. First, it was going to be the Kardashians against the Hiltons. Paris Hilton.
Oh, Paris Hilton. Yeah. Her family.
And it was going to be the Kardashians, but they couldn't do it. It was going to be just Kim, the mom, and the girls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They canceled the day before.
Oh, wow. Mm.
So Kanye said, man, could I do it? I always wanted to play Feud.
Really?
And Kim told me, said, Steve, he watches Family Feud every day. Every day. He be just sitting up there hollering, laughing. And so he said, what I'll do is I'll bring my family, and me and Kim will be on one side against Chris, their grandmother, and the girls.
Okay.
So they said, cool. But when they found out they canceled, Kim called the dude in Miami to ask him to come and do it because they thought there was going to be a person short. Well, that made too many people.
Mm-hmm.
And he came. He's a different kind of guy. Oh, the dude out of Miami.
Here come the gift.
No. Bro, just in there just making demands. I'm just looking at him. I've never seen him in my life.
Uh-huh. I know who you're talking about.
Okay, well. Mm-hmm. This is going to be off the chain. Everybody's covering it.
Oh, we're going to be watching.
This Sunday, Celebrity Family Feud season premiere. Can't wait. All right, Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. Here we go, guys.
Come on.
Oh, my goodness, Carla.
I'm telling you so much. Mama D is recovering. Remember I told you she had the grandmother makeover, right, plastic surgery and all that? Well, Ernest is back, Steve.
Yes.
Ernest
Sucking now.
Yes. Ernest and Mama D, according to Mama D, they met with their pastor, and they're trying to fix their marriage. Remember, it was rumors that Ernest had drug problems and all that, where he's back, and he's back at the house helping to take care of Mama D while she's recovering, and she's getting on his nerves because he
didn't want to be. What's she recovering from?
The grandmother
makeover, plastic surgery. She had a lot of plastic surgery.
Nipping and tucking, dog. They nipping and tucking.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
She had her boobs done, her butt done, her tummy done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Ernest is trying
to. She looks good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she does. She looks great.
A lot of nipping and tucking. Did that hurt?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
No, it don't hurt.
She says it hurt. She's in the
bed.
Yeah,
she did.
No, Tommy, it don't hurt. Surgery is so. It don't hurt.
Yeah.
It feels good.
It's minor.
Yeah. No, it feels good.
Yeah. But this is what I want to get to. Check this out, guys. You know, Rashida, she has a boutique, and she opened up her boutique Preston in Houston, and she flew the crew down, and everybody, the cast, they were there to support her grand opening of her boutique. And this is the issue that I'm having with this whole situation. You remember last season, Rashida and her husband, Kirk cheated on her and had a baby, had a love child. Well, the girl that the mistress, she's the baby mama, Jasmine. This girl shows up to Houston to this event that Rashida is having to want to apologize to Rashida for everything that, you know, what went down. And I will say this. What you cannot do is have an affair with my husband, have a baby, and then keep popping up at my place of business.
Right.
That's what you can't do. You just cannot keep doing this. And this young woman has been very, very disrespectful to Rashida. But I will say this, Rashida handled
her
like a boss.
Yes, she did.
She handled
her.
She told Kirk, she told her husband, you go sit down and let me talk to her. Because Rashida is a grown woman. And so she let this young girl know, you're going to stop. You're going to stop disrespecting me. You're going to stop disrespecting my children, putting my children on social media, popping up at my place of business. So I have to give high five to Rashida. Yep. She wasn't emotional about it. She was cool. She was a boss.
She didn't whoop her ass,
Carl? No, she didn't, because that's what I was screaming at the TV.
But it was at the opening of her store and everything. She
that's
didn't
a good
get,
opening.
She
nice
didn't
want
to go there. She didn't want to do all that.
But yeah, you know,
she talked to her like a grown woman. Yeah.
I don't watch this, but she is so fly, though.
Oh, Rashida?
That girl, Rashida, yeah, she be sharp, man.
That's why she opened a boutique. And
she be sharp, man.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, she has great style, Steve.
Yeah, man. She's a really fly lady, man. I don't understand.
Yep. So we got to go. You want to comment? Hit me up on Lips by Carla. Y'all know I'm trying to build my Instagram back up. So follow me, Lips by Carla. We'll be back at 20 after.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
A Bible that Whitney Houston left behind when she moved out of her Newport Beach luxury rental is now being sold by her former landlord. Guess for how much? $95,000, okay? Whitney,
For the Bible?
Yes. Whitney rented the home from 2009
to 2011.
The owner says he found the Bible in a box along with some clothes and CDs by the trash after she'd moved out. He says he had signed an NDA and contacted Houston's agent about the left-behind items, but was told he could keep them. The Bible, which is being sold through Moments in Time, has Whitney's handwriting all over it, so I guess it is hers. There are pages documenting life events. For instance, under marriage, Whitney scribbled in her name and Robert B. Brown and the date July 18th, 1992, which matches up. Under births, it lists Bobby Christina and her birthday March 4th, 1993, so I guess it is. So, $95,000?
Is it King James? Or which one is it?
It doesn't say which version. So stupid.
I don't want to know which one it is. It's just, the new, what they call it?
NIV.
NIV, the NIV. That's what I call it, the NIV. We don't know which one it is?
No, it didn't say.
No.
It's just Whitney's Bible.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I get a Bible at one of these hotels and say, this Rick James Bible, I can get some money for that?
Well, did you hear what I said? It had her handwriting all over it. Mm-hmm. It had her marriage date in there.
Where your Bible at?
That's what that is. I knew it.
Because I know I get, but and you living too? Yeah. What? And get you to sign this word?
I ain't got no writing in mind.
He ain't got no writing.
You can get any Bible and go ahead and tell me in mind.
You ain't got no folded pages.
Man, I ain't got that. Ain't no nothing.
You ain't got no highlight.
Tree filled up. No highlight, right, Carla? No, one of your favorite verses highlighted. Mm-mm. None of that up.
Ain't nobody in there born. I ain't filled out.
Family tree. The date you and Marjorie got married.
No.
The date Winton was born. None of that.
You're supposed to have all that in there,
all
right?
All your kids, all of that, huh? None of that, huh? Okay. No.
God, I get your Bible.
What do you think it would go for?
Man, I'm going to start at $250,000.
Really? Because
Whitney's a quarter of $1 million?
Well, Uncle Steve Bible, let me tell you something. This somebody who the Lord know personally. He done gave this man everything. You know how many people want to get a hold to this Bible? What? You put your hand on this hand, get to talking to it, and get all these blessings this boy done got?
Yeah.
This the Bible that's done brought clothing lines and TV shows. We talking about that Bible? This Bible done brought planes and stuff. Ride yachts and stuff. What are we talking about? This is a different kind of Bible. You don't understand what I'm talking about. And you want a Rolls Royce? Get a hold of this Bible right here. Get a hold to it. I'm telling you right now, get a hold to this Bible. Put your hand on it and ask him, I just want one TV show. And see, won't he do it?
Won't he will?
Will he won't? And won't
Can
he
we
will?
Go to break?
Don't be I mad at your you. Blessings. Don't do that.
Oh, God.
Your nephew is crazy.
Steve, you all right, Steve?
I'm going to get mad. Be shame of your blessing. Don't be shame.
But $250,000, a quarter of a million?
Who?
That's a lot of money,
that's a lot of money.
But let me tell you something.
What?
There's some people come together. put their money in a pool and get this Bible. Because these blessings go around.
All right, we'll be back with more of this foolishness right after this.
Won't he do it?
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Today would have been Prince's 60th birthday. And coming up in about 20 minutes, I know. Minneapolis's own legendary producers Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis are going to talk about Prince's legacy and what he meant to them. Stick around for that, please.
That's powerful.
Very insightful, yeah. In entertainment news, fashion designer Kate Spade was extremely depressed in the last days of her life because her husband wanted a divorce. Now, this is according to TMZ. Andy Spade, of course, is the brother of comedic actor David Spade. Kate and David's brother launched Kate Spade Handbags together back in 1993 and got married in 1994. But recently, Andy was separated from his wife, Kate, and he was living in a nearby apartment. It makes her suicide note particularly interesting and possibly revealing. She wrote to her 13-year-old daughter, Frances Beatrix, B, I have always loved you. This is not your fault. Ask Daddy. Wow.
You know, that's really bad.
Something
first
to
of
put
all,
on a kid. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, as you know, that's when you lose sight of hope. It's when you lose sight of your God. God is always coming, man. Don't ever give up. Whatever you're going through, you can't name anything you've ever gone through that you didn't get through. If you haven't gotten through it, you're currently being pulled through it as we speak. You can't think of anything that you not, on your worst moment, think of a person that you cared about the most who left this world. Do you know how you felt?
Yep.
Did not you think, man, I ain't going to make it?
I sure did.
Yes, sir.
But are you not here?
Come on. Yeah.
See, I know that feeling, man. I know what that feels like. That's how I know that God can bring you through anything. You do not have to succumb to Satan. You do not. The devil don't have to win. He's a liar. He does not have to win. He has no power over you unless you give it to him. God hears. He is so much hope for you. If you call on God in your darkest moment, he will answer. That's his promise. He will either remove the obstacle or give you strength to deal with it. One of the two things would happen, but he will not walk away and leave you alone. He will not.
Yeah.
He will not.
That was powerful.
Oh, she was,
people need to hear that this morning.
No, man, that's really because this suicide thing, you've gotten to a point in your life where you don't see the goodness of God. You have lost your focus, and now the negativity is consuming you.
Yeah. Well, actually, you're right, Steve, because it says she was obsessed about the news report of Robin Williams' suicide back in 2014. Her sister said that she had a debilitating mental illness for the last 3 or 4 years. She was self-medicating with alcohol. Again, she was obsessed with Robin Williams' suicide. And we all know she hanged herself in her bathroom.
All of that could be true. There are people who are suffering from mental things. I'm not an expert at that. I'm not saying that. But if you're listening to this radio show, I am telling you there is a God that is in the hear and answer prayer business. That's what he do. Keyword, hear and answer. You can't go to God and he turn his back on you. That's not what he does.
Such sad news.
Man, you write this note to your little girl. How selfish is that?
All right, Steve, coming up, our last break of the day, closing remarks, okay? Get ready, people. Right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Okay, Steve, as we celebrate today on what would have been Prince's 60th birthday.
But, you know, I'm going to tell you, man. The greatest song I've ever heard Prince do was Adore. And he had some great ones. Oh, I want you to understand, Adore, though, how rich that song is, man. Until the end of time, I'll be there for you. You are my heart and mind. I truly adore you. And if God one day struck me blind, your beauty I would still see. Lord have mercy. Love is too weak to define just what you mean to me.
don't sound like that, though. This ain't Prince. This the gesture.
That's the jam, though, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
At you. That
oh,
yeah. is the jam. Mm-hmm.
Man. One he and Marjorie, man. Songs. That's our mm-hmm. cut. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I sang that, too, at the Apollo one night.
Really?
Mm-hmm. At the Apollo Theater, at the Patti LaBelle appreciation. When Prince came backstage, didn't nobody know he was coming. He tapped me on the shoulder. He said, "What's up, brother?"
Oh.
I turned around. I said, "Oh, hell. Hell no. Pimpin' ass Prince." I used to call him pimpin' ass. Don't call me that, bro. Oh, damn. Now, what is you then? Got the high heel shoes on. That ain't pimpin'. Bell bottoms. That boy was cold.
Yeah.
He said, "I just had to come to do something for Patti, man. But I want to surprise her. How you think I ought to do it?" I said, "Man, well, listen." And then Mariah Carey was backstage. She saw Prince. She said, "Oh, my God." I mean, she lost it because she was next. Mm-hmm. But Prince just wanted to pop in and do something and leave. So he wanted to go up before Mariah Carey. Mariah Carey said, "Oh, God, you can't do that to me. You can't do that to me. I can't follow you." Mariah told her people, she said, "Y'all got to give me some more glitter. I need some more hair." Mariah was backstage. She was clowning, you know, but man, it was such a huge moment to see this megastar Mariah Carey mm-hmm. really tripping over Prince, because yeah. Prince is like the lick, man.
Yes, mm-hmm. he is.
Mm-hmm. You know, dog, it's Michael and Prince.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. So they talked Mariah into going on out there and doing her thing. She went on out there doing her thing. She said, "Thank you so much, Prince. You're going to ruin my neck. Don't worry about it, baby." He said, "Steve, what you think I ought to do?" I said, "This is what you ought to do, man. Tell him to cut the house lights off. You go in the middle of the stage and then pop a pose, and then we're going to hit the light on you." He said, "Oh, that's, I like that. I'm going to do it just like that." This dude, because dude was standing right next to me. He said, "Hit the house lights." Prince walked out there. He had a cane with him. Mm-hmm. He popped a pose, his silhouette, mm-hmm. and you could hear the crowd going, "Man, that looked like Prince." Boy, that spotlight hit. He popped the cane on the ground. It flipped. He did a spin and caught the cane and stood there looking at him. The Apollo tore that damn theater up.
I know they did.
I'm talking about, man, they went straight jack crazy. I've seen two great surprise moments. I was at the BET Award when it was honoring James Brown, and Michael Jackson came.
Yes, I remember that.
I got that picture on my phone of us backstage. I got that picture on my phone. He said, "Steve, I don't know what to do. I just want to surprise him." I said, "Maceo, I said, when you go out there to put the cape on James, can Michael take it out there and put it on?" He said, "I believe that'll be perfect, my partner." please don't go. Baby, I'm begging you, please. And he was on his knees. Mike walked out there with that cape.
Mm-hmm.
The Kodak Theater exploded.
I remember that. Oh, I was watching it.
He laid that cape on James Brown, and he laid him on different than he normally get it laid on. Man, James looked up at him. Man, they stood up and hugged, man. That was one of the great moments.
I saw that.
Mm-hmm. I did too. Yeah.
Man, I thank God, man. I thank God for letting me see some of the stuff I done seen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have seen none of this, man. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Man, I'd still be living in that car if it wasn't for the Lord.
I'm glad you're out of that.
How was he at Essence, Tommy?
Prince? Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, you remember, what's the real pretty girl, Janelle Monae?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
She was performing.
Yeah, she loves Prince.
She was performing. She was rocking. And this guy with this guitar had his back to the audience. Uh-huh. And he was jamming. The whole place was jumping. And that dude with the guitar turned around. And doggone it, it was Prince.
Yeah.
Yes.
His live shows were unbelievable. Like nothing you've ever seen. Nothing. I mean, just
Shirley,
greatness.
When he was in that Superdome. Right. And it was his turn to perform. Mm-hmm. And those lights went out, and he said, "Dearly beloved."
That was it. That was
me
it.
And my husband was screaming and running. I'm talking about.
I took off running.
Like, yes. Lose your mind running.
Well,
like,
beloved.
Yes.
We all had on purple that day.
Uh-huh. Of course. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Superdome was purple. We lost our minds. That was a just
a moment.
Epic moment.
Yeah, it
oh,
was. Well, listen, go to all our social media, okay? Steve Harvey FM, if you want to comment and tell us your favorite Prince song, your favorite Prince moment, okay?
That's
some
it. Great memories.
And y'all have a great weekend.
It's boy.
Well, it's close. It's close enough for him.
I'm actually off this weekend, but I got to go to the damn
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.